There's a question I will present to you, a question for you, that you, if you hold someone dear and beloved to yourself, and you also affirm that I really love this person, and you claim that, you claim love for that person, for that individual, and you physically demonstrate that. So that person, if he presents something in your service, then you won't not say that you don't want it. Rather, for example, if somebody else presents something to you, something that's not nice, you won't just reject it, but you'll make an excuse or you'll say something. So, for example, if somebody presents something to you and you don't accept that, then can you claim that you love that person? Of course not. Of course not. So it doesn't make sense that if you love someone, hold somebody dear, and that person presents something to you or a gift, that you'll reject it. No way. Even if he gives you dust or soil, you'll embrace it. You won't think, how big is it, how expensive is it, how valuable is it. That's the case, isn't it? You'll be very happy that this person, oh dear and beloved, I love this person, and he's paid attention to me and focused on me, and he's gifted this to me or given me something. You'll be extremely happy, very happy. You won't return it to that person or make an excuse not to accept it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He has stated, وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُ, that my Mahbub, my beloved, my Rasul, my Nabi, my Prophet, Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of the Prophets, and he who traveled on the night of Miraj, the cause of creation of the universe, if he gives something to you, then take it. Then take it. If he gives something to you, then take it. Receive it. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating this. And about the greatest personality to such idle people, bone idle people like us. Allah ta'ala says that when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives something to you, then take it. Accept it. And we don't even think about accepting it, receiving it. Now what will the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give to us? Obviously, every man gives to the other person who he holds beloved what he thinks is most dear. If you hold somebody dear and close to you, then you'll give him something very nice. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is proud of this ummah, proud of every ummati. And you can imagine therefore his love, his crying in the night, doing du'as, supplicating for the ummah, praying. And not for his family members, not his children. In the night he would wake up and pray for us, for our forgiveness he would pray. And on the day of resurrection he will remember us, and he'll prostrate for us and say, ummati, ummati, ummati. My people, my people. Isn't this the case? So how Allah Ta'ala holds us beloved. So if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he gives us something, imagine how beloved it will be. Yes, that Allah is giving, yes, via his Mahbub, via the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest personality, and the one who's giving, he is giving what he holds beloved. Subhanallah. And those who are receiving, accepting, are who? Think yourself. I won't say anything further than that. We don't take it, we make a fuss, make excuses. Rather, beyond that, we even say negative things. We turn our faces away, we frown. So what justice is this, my friends, that if somebody claims that he or she loves the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam extremely, then is this justice? Most definitely not. Most definitely not. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved thing he gave to us, وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُكُمْ, the sunnahs, his beloved methodology of life. And that's for our benefit that he was given to us, for our benefit that we can live in this world. On every footstep, every breath should be such that it's valuable, it becomes a valuable commodity for the hereafter. SubhanAllah. One step you take, One step, if you take that step according to your own desire, but if you take that step according to the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's desire, that will become ibadah, and the first example will be nothing. Subhanallah. Do you get thirsty, don't you? You want water? There's water around, isn't it? We get thirsty. When you're thirsty, it's natural, it's in the fitrah of man. And if I pick the water up and drink it according to my desire, my way, my method, fine, I've drunk it, I've gone. That's it. That same want and need, and I consider that, how did the Prophet tell us to drink the gift he gave us, the tariqah? It's a gift, isn't it? And he didn't give us a gift that I'm giving you a bundle of money, or I'm telling you how to run your businesses, how to earn, how to make houses. No. No. The Prophet ﷺ, he gave us the gifts of the hereafter, the treasures of the hereafter, the fikr he had that I want my ummatis to have a high grade status in the hereafter. I want them high grade status in Jannah. Dunya is just a temporary place. What's the point of advising this? So when you love somebody, then you give them such permanent and valuable things that will be beneficial for that person. So Allah's Nabi doesn't give us such a thing. Subhanallah, that he gave us that tariqah, that methodology. It's not linked to this world, it's linked to the hereafter, permanent, eternal. Subhanallah, water. Drink the water. Drink it the way you want. But Allah's Nabi stated that, shall I tell you the tariqah, the method, how to drink the water? And we have taken that from the Holy Prophet. So what does that water become? It's become the treasure of the hereafter, permanent. So there's no action of the Prophet that will take us to loss. Nothing. But we are animals. We don't know anything about life, how to live, the methodology, the techniques, nothing. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bestowed us His sunnahs, His tariqah, His method, His ways. His ways. And the ulama ikram, the respected scholars, worked hard, made effort, a lot of effort the scholars put into this. And such a beautiful, easy to comprehend and understand tool and resource they gave for the ummah. But they didn't say that, leave it. No, you know the definitions and the titles and the categories, they have not been given to us so that we can leave the actions. No, to explain the status, the definitions, and they've elaborated on the tariqah mubarak of the Holy Prophet so that we don't remain confused. But they didn't say that leave those actions because we don't have to do them. No, nobody can even imagine. If a man says, so it's not really important, we don't need to do this, how can it not be necessary? If a penny falls on the ground, will you leave it? Say it's not necessary, it's a penny, money. If I pick up the pennies, it'll become a pound. Then we won't take it. When we take the pennies out, yes, 99 pence, you won't say it's a pound. You won't, will you? Yes. But the pound is 1p short, it's still 99p. But a pound, you'll need the next penny to make it. So in the same way, there's the value there. The Prophet ﷺ sunnah are for our benefit. But the categories have been made by the ulama ikram, and shaitan has played a game with us so we can understand the status, definition, breakdown, what's the value of the action. So according to that, never should a person have it in his mind that it's not necessary, it's just sunnah, it's not beneficial. No. Never think like that. There'll be no punishment if I don't do it. If I don't practice it, Allah won't be unhappy with me, or I won't be punished. It's not fard. It's not fard. Everything fine what you're saying, but my colleagues, this gift that we're getting, where's it coming from? Allah's Nabi said, Allah said that whatever my Nabi gives to you, take it. Don't reject. Don't reject. So let's think for a few moments now. Let's think for a few moments that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he gives something to us, then will there not be benefits behind that? Let me tell you one sunnah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One sunnah. Wudu, ablution. We do wudu before praying. Now wudu, if we take wudu, Allah Ta'ala has given so many rewards for performing wudu, ablution. In Sahih Muslim and Bukhari, there's a hadith, as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. The meaning of this hadith, on the day of judgment, all the ummahs will be there, there'll be a lot of noise and clamor, everybody will be present. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how will he recognize his ummah? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What a great gift that, how subhanallah, we've been given this rank. There's so many ummahs, how will the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognize that this is my ummati? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recognize his ummati. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The big question of this companion, imagine, Think about it. What a great question. And the Prophet ﷺ will recognize every single ummati from all of the previous nations from far. Just like you see a horse, and they're all black horses, but on a certain horse, its forehead or its mane is a white streak. Same way Allah's Nabi ﷺ stated that this is how I'll recognize my ummati. How will he recognize them? Think. Think. Allah's Nabi ﷺ stated that my ummah, how will I recognize my ummati? From their faces they'll be shining, their faces will be shining, their hands will be shining, their faces will be shining, their foreheads will be shining from the shine, the glow. The glow, all the ummahs, obviously, if Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will recognize his ummati from this light due to this glow, then that means that only this ummah will have that dignity, that honor. And how do we get the honor, that dignity of the shining, glowing faces? Through what? Through the sadaqah, the action, the sunnah sharif of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No other previous ummah will have that. Rasulullah said, I'll recognize you in this way, because only my ummati will have that glow, that shine. What will that be? Stated Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hands, face, body will be shining through what? Due to wudu. Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's great sunnah, that person should be in wudu all the time. All the time a person should be in wudu. This is a great sunnah of the Prophet. Lots of virtues and blessings for remaining in wudu. Ongoing. Rasulullah said, I recognize my ummah from their wudu. And you can increase the intensity of this nur light as much as you want. In other words, do wudu as much as you want. Do wudu as much as you want. Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet gave us a beautiful method. As Uthman radiallahu anhu, about this wudu, I will explain. As Uthman radiallahu anhu requested water, he was a great companion. Water was brought to him, he completed wudu, hands washed, face washed, and nose cleaned. All the parts of wudu he completed. As Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, listen, I saw the Holy Prophet doing wudu in this way. And then he stated, whoever does wudu like this, after that, if he prays 2 rak'ah nafal salah, then all his previous sins are forgiven. Subhanallah. All his previous sins. What a great action. Alhamdulillah. Now what's in this? What is required to do this? The Holy Prophet has some unique sunnah of wudu. That when a person does wudu, after that, what should he do? Tahiyatul wudu. 2 rak'ah salah. Tahiyatul wudu. How long will it take? Tell me. How long will it take to pray 2 rak'ah salah? And how much thawab, reward? And then if you make the niyyah of sunnah as well, then you'll get that thawab as well. The thawab for tayyatul wudu and the thawab for reviving that sunnah. All previous sins forgiven. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu's hadith, Sahih Muslim and Bukhari hadith. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. Rather, there's another event in which Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, the Holy Prophet heard the footsteps of Hazrat Bilal in the heavens. He's walking. And Rasulullah said, Bilal, what deed are you doing that I can hear your footsteps in the heavens? And Hazrat Bilal said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't do any special deed. I don't do anything. Rather, his amal. Imagine Hazrat Bilal's amal. I will say, one deed of his. And he used to be laid on the fire and he used to say, Ahad, from his mouth. That is the greatest deed we could say. And he said, Hazrat Rasulullah, I don't do anything. But yes, when I do wudu for salah, before salah, then after doing wudu, I pray 2 rak'ah nafal salah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine. Ma atakum rasulu. The Holy Prophet, whatever he gives to you, take it, don't leave it. Tomorrow it'll be beneficial. Extremely beneficial. Yes, we are desperately in need tomorrow for this. When the eyes will close, pass away, we will be desperately in need for him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for his ways. Yes, then we should learn from those who have died. When you go to somebody's janazah, burial, when you bury someone, then do maraqabah for a few moments. That it's not this person who's died, it's me in reality who died. Then first thing that will, when a sheet of our deeds will end, when we pass away, and all reward opportunities will have gone. Yes? For example, you could have said thousands of times after that, oh, if only I could pray 2 rak'ah salah after nafl, after wudu. The shaitan's injected our minds, it's not necessary, it's not fard, it's not compulsory. We'll be desperate after death to do that. Ma atakum rasulu. Allah says that he's your rasul, he's given to you, and you're rejecting what he's given to you? You're shunning it? Think about it. So this is a great point and a great opportunity Allah has given to us. Wudu, how many great things come out of wudu? As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu stated that once I was present at the service of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing wudu. After wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did dua. The dua of wudu after completing wudu. Allah Ta'ala, please forgive our sins, Allah, and give us the blessings in our home. Allah, give us barakah in our rizq. The respected scholars have written that one thing we've understood, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us another teaching, that after wudu, it's such a moment that do dua to Allah after you do wudu. That dua will be accepted. Now, how many duas we have, and there are many ulama ikram, respected scholars, pious predecessors who have written events that when we have a severe need, what did we do? That when we completed wudu, and especially we do wudu after wudu. If a person, remember this, if a person does wudu, he's in wudu, has Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates hadith, and he does wudu again, then 10 good deeds are assigned to him. 10 good deeds. Subhanallah. And this is everyday occurrence that we have to do wudu for salah, isn't it? But if you do wudu again, even though you got wudu, what greatness comes out of that? What greatness comes out of that? In such a time, and dua after wudu, it's a complete dua. There are complete duas, but apart from that, you can do other duas, because the door for dua is open. For health, take away the illnesses, for children, for awlad, offspring. Tell me. So many opportunities Allah has given. مَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُكُمْ. Whatever my Nabi gives to you, take it. Take it. This is the sunnah. What else is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So here we need to think that what we need to think about here, about wudu, another way to understand this, that there's a person, he doesn't have wudu. His situation, and there's another person who is in wudu, who performs wudu. Look at the difference between the two. The person who doesn't have wudu, if we look at his condition, which condition is he in, the person who doesn't have wudu? How many restrictions for that person? Yes, he is at loss for many things, that person who doesn't have wudu. For example, he cannot touch the Quran. He cannot write the verses of the Quran. Isn't it? No ijazah. Many good deeds he can't prostrate. Salah. He can't pray nafal salah. Many restrictions. If you don't have wudu, many actions that you cannot do. So many doors of thawab are shut. And another bigger thing than that, listen. That this is the house of Allah we are in. For us, the greatest shelter is the house of Allah. Just like the fish in the sea, if you take it out of the water, you'll have seen, you'll feel that, isn't it? If I say that to you. But mashallah, just like when you take the fish out of water and then you throw it into water, it's a new lease of life. It's alive again. In the same way, the salah, we are linked to the masjid. Subhanallah, when a person comes into the masjid, he feels sakina, peace, comfort, ajeeb, beautiful, peaceful bliss. And every one of you realizes this. How sad we were when we were far from the masjids. So many days this masjid remained closed. What were the conditions that have befallen us in our lives? How much sukoon and peace we get and comfort you feel like carrying on sitting. This is the case, isn't it? Isn't it? But if you don't have wudu, there's a restriction. Without wudu, you cannot come into the masjid. It's against adab. Against the adab. This is the case, isn't it? Yes. So if you have wudu, you can come in freely. You do wudu, soon as you perform wudu, all the doors open, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. You do wudu, what is the achievement of wudu? All the doors open suddenly, tilawat of Quran, touch the Quran, pray nafal salah, prostration, mashallah. And many ibadat that you can do without wudu, yes, but when you do them with wudu, then an extra nur and light and beautiful feeling enhances and your situation improves. This is the case, isn't it? Yeah. So why is there a difference between the two? One is a person with wudu and one is without wudu. And that person is at loss. But as soon as he performs wudu, the biggest loss, that you can't go into the house of Allah, the masjid, without wudu. So wudu purifies the person, the human being. What does it do? It purifies the person. It's such an action, wudu, alhamdulillah, that it's the same person, two humans, one person has wudu, one doesn't have wudu, both their faces are the same, their body is the same, sat the same, eating the same, drinking the same, no external difference. But as soon as that person does wudu, then the difference is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. The one person, there's a hadith I can just recall, Hazrat Musa Ashari radiyallahu anhu, this is his hadith that he narrates, and he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that when you do wudu, this is the meaning of the hadith, that when you do wudu alongside wudu, or before you do wudu, Bismillah walhamdulillah, you should recite Bismillah. Then what happens when you recite Bismillah walhamdulillah, then the angels that are protecting you, as long as your wudu remains intact, they keep on recording good deeds for you. Keep on recording good deeds for you. SubhanAllah, tell me, what a massive reward. What a massive reward. So here, if a person, if he loses wudu, you know, there's small salahs, short gap, you say, I'll pray Asr, Maghrib. If your wudu is intact, then the angels will protect you, guide you, shelter you, and they'll record the good deeds for you. Record the good deeds for you. SubhanAllah. How much a loss we are at if we don't do this. Why? Well, it's not necessary to do wudu. You don't have to be wudu. Think about it. Here Allah is saying, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. When the Nabi gives to you, subhanallah, willingly accept whatever the Apostle gives to you. Willingly accept, Allah saying in the Quran. Because tomorrow when we pass away and our eyes open, we'll understand the desperateness we need. So a person, he becomes pure. If he's got wudu, he's purified. His status increases so much, and spiritually as well, alhamdulillah. Spiritually he's enhanced so much that just like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, we heard about his event, that with wudu, his status was elevated so much that in the heavens, his footsteps are heard by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the earth and he heard his footsteps in the heavens. So when a person does wudu, he becomes so pure, clean, alhamdulillah, within, internally, and his body, physically, bodily and internally, physically, that every action of his is close to Allah, accepted by Allah. So this was, my brothers, with regards to a physical cleanliness Allah has given to us, which is do wudu. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Everybody has understood these points that we've discussed, that Allah loves purity, and through wudu we become clean and pure. And what is pure? Your hands clean, your nose, your body. Yeah? That's zahiri, external cleanliness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. SubhanAllah. That there's a greater purity than this. This is bodily purity we just discussed, and this becomes your hal. Allah gives so many rules for wudu and cleanliness. But if we go further and purify our batin, our soul, our inner state, then imagine the maqam of that person. Imagine, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah's laid down that principle. In reality, Allah says, in reality, that here, we, for example, we can't come to the masjid, our bodies aren't pure, we can't come to the masjid, my brothers. So that person whose batin is impure, inner self is impure, the person whose batin is impure, then where will his entrance be stopped? In Jannah, in paradise. He will only be allowed to enter into paradise, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, who has purified his soul, his inner state, his inner self, his batin. Wudu, purity, so many rules we've seen. So the batin, the soul, when that's clean, and a person washes himself inside his nafs, his batin, his qalb, his heart, then his maqam, what will it be in Allah's eyes? Imagine. And what a great reward he'll get. And status, Allah says, those people have left successful. The doors of paradise have opened for that person who has purified his batin. His batin. His inner self. His soul. So this is the real thing that we need to do, is to clean our batin. Our soul. This is where success is attained. We want entrance into paradise. We want to go into paradise. So to go into paradise, Allah has given a condition. The condition, what's the condition? Allah says, purify your inner state, your batin. You must clean it, purify it, wash it. You have externally cleansed yourself, your dhahir. Allah gives the rules. So dhahir is the soap. You can do ghusl, have a bath, wash your hands and your mouth, use the soap. Alongside that, Allah's given water. Two things, isn't it? Detergent, soap and water. You can clean yourself physically. So to clean the batin, what has Allah Ta'ala given to us? To prepare us, to give us assistance to clean the batin, the soul, the heart, the inner self. For that, there is also a soap and there's also water. The pious predecessors have elaborated on this. The soap for the batin cleaning is Tawbah, the best brand. When a person applies the soap of Tawbah to his body, his batin, Allah says, when a person does Tawbah, honest true Tawbah, and he utilizes the soap of Tawbah for ghusl, Allah announces, you have become now just like you have just been born from the womb of your mother. Subhanallah. Whoa, how much Tawbah cleans a person internally. And alongside that, you need water to apply to that soap. Allah has prepared that water. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Subhanallah, subhanallah. These two resources, if we utilize them, Tawbah, the soap and the dhikr of Allah, the water, then our batin will start to be cleaned and washed. Subhanallah. How important, necessary this is for us, for our batin to be clean. Because if we die and our batin was dirty, then we cannot go into paradise. The batin's dirt is lying, backbiting, takabbur, pride, hasad, envy, jealousy, hatred. So many list of sins, and nobody can claim that he's free from the disease of the batin. There's only one cure. Remember this, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in a hadith, the Sahaba Ikram asked about this world. Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is it possible that you walk on water or touch water and your feet will not be wet? Tell me, this is dunya. We're living this world. If we live in the world, then will the dirt and the purity not come onto us? Will it not attach us? Nobody can claim that he's free from the impurities. Nobody can. Kutab Ghawth Abdal. Nobody. Question doesn't arise. Apart from the prophets. Only the prophets were innocent and sinless. No one can say, I'm saved from sin or impurity or death. No. One action a man should do. One action. To be saved, he should try his best. But no one can guarantee that he'll be saved. Question doesn't arise. So there are two enemies strong running after us. Nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan. Yes, they are severe enemies of us. They will never leave us. I've just prayed salah. I leave the masjid after praying salah. Sin of the eyes takes place. The evil eye or sin of another type of sin takes place. And I can change my dress, my attire and my way I look. But the heart of a person, when it changes, that's when he succeeds. It's related to the batin, the inner self. And the person whose batin is not clean before he dies and it remains dirty, impure, then without wudu we can't go into the masjid. So with a dirty batin, then how will that person go into paradise? Remember this. How will he go? How can the question arise? But those who have iman, we've recited kalima, Allah has promised that the person who will recite the kalima, he'll be sent into Jannah. So Allah will say that, okay, that you didn't wash yourself in the dunya, you didn't use the soap, you didn't use the water that I gave to you, the resources for your batin, for your inner self, you are enjoying yourself, following your desires. But Allah said, I promised I'm going to deliver you to paradise. So Allah says, I'll wash you then, may Allah forgive. Then Allah's washing us, where will Allah Ta'ala cleanse us, our sins? We'll go into paradise eventually, but what will happen first? First, the sins, the batini sins that are stuck to our inner state, to wash them, Allah will send us to hell first. Jahannam. Tell me, can anyone live in Jahannam? Tell me. Oh, otherwise a human being will reject them. No, I'm not going to die, so I don't need to worry. If we believe we're going to die, then the first important action and task for us in our life is what? All amal deeds. The greatest action we need to do is every second we should have a fikr, a worry, a concern, so much. Every second of life we should have this fikr inside us, that yaar, I need to clean my batin, my inner self, my soul. And what a tariq Allah has given, subhanallah. Bukratan wa asila, Allah says, Sit down in the morning, do my dhikr, alhamdulillah, until ishraq, do my dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the barakah of the morning, will remove all the sins during the night that were in your record. And the angels subhanahu bestow to that person a sign that the rest of the day protect him and shelter him. In the evening, if he does dhikr, according to the habit, if he does dhikr in the evening also, then he does ghusl again of his batin, of his soul. And if he follows this system in his life, follows this system in his life, 2 times a day ghusl, internal ghusl, you need to do kathir, because today this is the age of sins. So many sins are done by a person that he cannot imagine. That's why Allah Ta'ala has explained to us to do dhikran kathira in this verse. Dhikran kathira. So the respected scholar stated that dhikran kathir, kathir dhikr is not the dhikr of the tongue. Cannot achieve that. How can you do dhikr kathir from your tongue? You can't. How much will you do? You have to speak to someone, you're sleepy, you have to go sleep, get tired. How long will you do dhikr of the tongue? How long will you do dhikr? The bukratan wasila says, we have to purify our batin so much. You can't clean your inner self by just saying, doing dhikr a few times, 3-4 times. You need to do ghusl all the time, continuous. So Allah Ta'ala stated kathir dhikr. So the pious predecessors have stated that kathir dhikr is qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. Which dhikr is it? Qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. You have to make your heart the dhakir, my brothers. You have to make your heart the dhakir. Make your heart accustomed. The heart should pay so much attention, that every second moment our heart should remember Allah. Our hands are working on our task of the day, and our heart should be assigned to Allah at the same time. And this happens. This materializes. If Allah says, then it occurs. If you work hard, you will see that happening. 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes, my brothers. I request you for the sake of Allah. Your dhikr, just start it from 5 minutes time span. You're busy, you're occupied, you've got lots of things to do. But this fakir, this humble person's request to you, that start with 5 minutes of dhikr. Just 5 minutes, brothers, sit down. Just 5 minutes in the morning, sit down in some corner and totally empty your mind and focus on your heart with simplicity, humbleness, and make the niyyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am sat in your remembrance, I'm focusing on my heart. And imagine, think at that time, that Allah ta'ala's magnificence, the noor of his magnificence and brilliance. Think about it. Via the Holy Prophet ﷺ is coming to my heart, and my heart is saying Allah, 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 and Allah is watching. This is the tariqah of the pious predecessors. This is maraqabai qalbi, maraqabai qalbi. Yes, that's all we need to do. That's all you need to do. Just 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. InshaAllah, Allah willing, in your life, that time will come when 5 minutes, I tell you, hours you will remain in that same dhikr, hours on end. And so much accustomed, your heart will become to dhikr of Allah. Your heart will become so used to doing dhikrullah, subhanallah, that you'll be sleeping and your heart will be beating to Allah's name. If I tell you the events about this, that in my life I have witnessed, I've seen my friends, my colleagues. Time, we need some time for me to share that with you. But you need to accept what I'm saying. Let's do my dhikr and do dhikr in your heart. There's hand dhikr of the hand, of the lips, of the mouth. But the real genuine dhikr is dhikr qalbi. And it very quickly cleans the heart. Very quickly cleans the batin. And very suddenly you feel peace. Depression goes. Illnesses go. Diseases go. Sakina, comfort comes to your mind. Close your eyes. Focus on your heart. Pay attention to the heart. Keep your tongue to your upper palate. Stopped. And make niyyah that Allah, with the beat of my heart, I'm remembering you, whether you feel it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you feel that peace or not. Not necessarily that you can feel it or see it. Just make the intention, Allah, that my heart is saying Allah, 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 and I'm listening. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. These are the two methods. The pious predecessors told us that my heart is saying Allah, 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 and I'm listening. That is called maraqab. Muraqabal. Think in your life experiences and see the extreme benefit of doing this dhikr. So this is the ghusl of our batin, inner soul, inner state. And the first point was, if we don't do wudu, you can't go into the house of Allah, into the masjid. So as long as our batin is not cleaned and washed, then the Allah Ta'ala has given us the real home, which is Jannah, paradise, then we cannot go into paradise. Today we need to work hard on this, my friends. Very simple method. You don't need to work hard. It's so easy. There's no striving, no difficulty. Don't need to shout out, no shrieking, no screaming, no speaking loudly or walking or running or making effort. You get tired. Just need a corner and thought about your friend Allah. Just think about your friend Allah. And Allah loves this action. Allah loves this action. The Holy Prophet ﷺ started from this action. If we see this, what did Rasulullah ﷺ do in Jabal Nur? In the cave of Hira, he take his goods, belongings and go. He do maraqabah of Allah. The pious predecessors explained this. He didn't pray salah there. He didn't do anything there. Just maraqabah for days on end. Kaaba was in front of him. He sat in the cave and remembering Allah. Allah, remembering Allah. That's what Rasulullah ﷺ did. So this is such a fantastic and great action to introduce us and make us meet Allah. And we're washing our inside, cleaning our inside. Alhamdulillah, when we go, as is stated in the hadith, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, the dhakir, when they rise from their graves, they will float so lightly because their sins were removed, so they'll be light. If you sit in dhikr now, the announcement will be made from Allah. You'll be sat in dhikr, so much dirt and impurity. We came with, I speak about myself. Forgive me, I'm not speaking to you. I came with so many dirt, so much dirt, impurity, sins. I've sat here remembering Allah, reciting Allah's name, doing dhikr, doing maraqabah. Allah's rahmah comes into Josh. Allah then announces that I've forgiven this person. Allah makes the angels his witnesses. Why? Because he has purified his batin, his inner soul. Allah says, oh, I've forgiven him. And he'll enter into paradise. So that's all we need to do. That's all on the cleaning the batin. You do wudu, go into the masjid. The door is open. And if you purify your batin, your soul, door opens, go into Jannah and paradise. Allah, may he allow our death to come like this, whilst we're doing ghusl. And then straight, direct, that man will go into Jannah with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace. So my brothers, keep doing the dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. And give me encouragement. When I get lazy, you encourage me. And I also should encourage you. Maraqbah has a great value. The walis of Allah, they made a lot of effort on maraqbah. And it's a very simple method. And it's afdal. The greatest dhikr. The dhikr we do loudly, I'm not against that. I'm not saying don't do that. Definitely do that. But the benefits of this Naqshbandi silsila methodology of maraqabad, all of the Naqshbandi silsila teaching of dhikr is silent dhikr. Maraqba dhikr. There's no extra effort, no working hard. That there's ease and comfort and more thawab, more benefit. Easy method. So whenever you see you're free for a while, close your eyes, focus on the heart, and do tasawwur and think. There are many lataif, many lessons, many asbaq. If Allah Ta'ala introduces you to a shaykh, then your whole body can be full of noor. The qalb, then the ruh, then the sir, then khafi, then akhfa, then the nafs, then qalbiya. All seven lataif, the seven positions, the seven orders, the seven lesson levels. When this is the hal of doing dhikr, when you get to the seventh door and do dhikr of Allah, then what does that person become? Imagine for a few moments this. One door opens for you, latifa qalb, these all lataif, all levels, grades, lessons that the wali Allah teaches you, ismizad, dhikr of Allah's name on those grades, positions. Each door then opens up. Start from the qalb, then the you go from the qalb and you continue up to the nafs, and then the doors continue to open up. Alhamdulillah. Seven, like the seven heavens. And then every latifa, latifa qalb, ruh, sar, khafi, akhfa, nafs, all qalbi, all, every latifa, every lesson, its level, its rank, its status is unique and separate. You're cleaning the batin within. Allah's prepared in a beautiful way for us. The walis of Allah are sent to the world. They sit, they do the work, make effort. And if we're lazy, what a big loss. Let's do dua. The Allah Ta'ala gives to all of us Especially the tawfiq to do maraqabah and silent dhikr. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to do this. Today we're in that day and age where everyone's busy, occupied. Who's got time? Who's going to sit down, do 10,000 tasbih, sit down lengthy time period and speak loudly, do dhikr loudly? Very difficult. That's the generation we're in, isn't it? So that's why Naqshbandi silsila came last from the salasil. It came as the fourth, the final silsila. Reason being, because this silsila that Allah Ta'ala gave to Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, Allah Ta'ala gave rahmatul alayhi, this silsila, that the people will come in the days to come, they won't be able to spend long time to dhikr. People in previous times used to go into the jungles, isolation, lengthy wazaif, recitations, prayers. Allah says that the time to come, the modern era, the modern generation, people don't have time. According to their needs and conditions, the silsila, the dhikr that's been given, is that they will do dhikr less, but they will attain the same as the people before them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now you sit down in the morning in maraqabah, 15-20 minutes. What effort do you make? You can hear people sleeping during that time. Subhanallah. Isn't it? You can hear them sleeping. But when a person's eyes open, alhamdulillah, his lataif are all alive. And they've been aroused. So it's not necessary. If we've got an easy, simple method, why should we select the difficult way? Why? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Then why should we select a difficult method if we've got the easy, lightweight methodology? Then why do we need to take hold of the burden and the difficult method? We don't need to do that. Anyway, we should do this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability. Ameen. Let's do the dhikr of Allah for a short while. Recite the Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه وياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمين أزواج أمهات محمد المؤمنين وزوجاته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا أصلنا وجدنا ختمنا عودنا كل ذلك اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما أخرت ما أسرت ما أعلنت ما صرفت تعالوا به أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني اے میرے مولا یا کرم کرنے والا یا خالق یا مالک یا قادر ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ یا اللہ تو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ تو کرم فرما دے ہم لوگوں میرے مولا یا اللہ ہماری بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ اس مجمعے کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری خطا کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے باطن کو صاف فرما دے یا کریم یا کریم دنیا میں اس باطن کو صاف فرما دے میرے مولا یا اللہ جہنم کی آگ سے بچا لے قبر کے عذاب سے بچا لے دوزخ کے عذاب سے بچا لے میرے مولا یا کریم تمام گناہوں سے حفاظت فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ باطن تمام گناہوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما شر نفس و شر لسان سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ سب مصیبتوں میں میرے مولا گھرے شیطان کے شکر میں گھرے میرے ماحول سے میرے مولا ہر چیز سے مجبور ہے میرے مولا یا کریم تو بھی کرم فرما رحم فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ تم پہ کرم فرما دے رحم فرما دے میرے مولا اس امت پہ رحم فرما دے میرے مولا ہمیں خرافات سے لا یعنی باتوں سے بری چیزوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما میرے مولا ہمارے گھر والوں کی حفاظت فرما ہمارے بچوں کی حفاظت فرما ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمارے بچوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہماری اولادوں کی حفاظت فرما یا کریم اپنے فضل کرم سے میرے مولا ذکر فکر کی ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرما اچھے اعمال کی توفیق نصیب فرما اچھی صحبتیں نصیب فرما یا کریم یا کریم صبح اور شام ہمارے ذکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہر وہ عمل جو تجھے محبوب کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ برائی سے دور فرما دے میرے مولا یا رحم رحیم جو ہم نے دعائیں مانگی میرے مولا یا اللہ جو باتیں تو نے کروائی ہمارے سے ان پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہدایت کے راستے ہمیں کھول دے ان پہ ہمیں استقامت بھی نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے تمام الواقعین رشتہ داروں کی بخشش فرما دے جاننے والوں کی بخشش فرما دے میرے مولا ابھی حال میں ایک صاحب کا انتقال ہوا میرے مولا یا کریم ان کی بخشش فرما دے, ان کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. اسی طرح خاتون نے مولا قرآن ختم کیا, آپ حضرات سے دعا کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا, یا اللہ اس کی قرآن کی تلاوت کو قبول فرما میرے مولا, یا اللہ اس کی قرآن کی تلاوت کو قبول فرما, یا اللہ اس کا اجر نصیب فرما, یا اس کا ثواب نصیب فرما. جس کے اسال کے لیے اس نے قرآن کو پڑھا ہے مولا, اس کو پورا ثواب عطا فرما. یا اللہ اس قرآن کی برکت سے اس خاتون کی حاجات, مصیبتیں, پریشانیاں دور فرما. یا اللہ ہم سب کو بھی قرآن پڑھنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ قرآن سے محبت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ قرآن کا ادب نصیب فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.